Welcome back to the InPencil Podcast. I'm Adam.
And as always, I have been Jess.
Okay.
Welcome to our podcasting zone.
Weird, but okay. Okay. Before we get started, I have a confession to make.
Is this your confession?
Yeah, this is it. Right here.
Right. Oh, I didn't say that loud enough. I don't think anybody heard that in the mic, but I was singing Usher's Confessions.
Okay. Anyway, we recorded a podcast, last week, I think? And I still haven't gotten around to editing it yet and putting it up. So, yeah, we're a bit behind.
Or this podcast could come out first, and then you'll never know.
I mean, but then what would we do with the other podcast? We would just...
We'd put it out second. Our podcasts don't follow. Our podcasts aren't, like, on a linear timeline most of the time.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, but, I mean, we do mention some things that are, like, timely in the last one that we need to get out before the things that we said were going to happen. And then if we put it out after they happen, then they'll be predicting things that already happened, which would not be fun or accurate.
Yeah. Here are my predictions of the 1984 election. I think Reagan is going to win. What is it? He's going to be the, what is it called when you win twice? You're the incumbent.
Yeah, you're the incumbent.
It's called re-election, re-inauguration. He's going to win re-inauguration. Okay. Wow. It's been a long weekend. We're recording this on a Sunday evening.
Yeah.
And it's been a hot one. Like about 3 inches from the midday sun.
You know, everyone's complaining about how hot it is. Everybody. I'm looking online. Everybody's complaining and bitching about, oh, it's so hot. It's such a hot. I'm like, you fucking knew this was coming. Like, we've been knowing about climate change for 40 fucking years and we've done nothing about it. And so now everybody's bitching about how hot it is. Well, guess what?
I would say, yeah, we've done this to ourselves. But I mean, first of all, I think if you're like 12 or 15, you can complain about this pretty easily because
at this point, you've grown up with weather like this.
Yeah.
So.
And I think some of us believe in climate change and have tried to mitigate it as best as we can. Obviously, there's only so much we can do. My favorite thing is all the things that we as individuals can do to stop climate change. Let me list all the different things that I have heard that is the best things that we can do. These are all the number one thing we can do to stop climate change as individuals.
This will be a good exercise in reiterating things that we've been told that we can do to protect the planet and then are meaningless. But go ahead.
Yeah. So number one, this isn't number one as in the most you can do. But these are
it's just the first thing that's on your mind.
Yeah, the first one. So this is all I've heard. One, don't eat beef.
Oh. How is that? Okay, explain. Elaborate.
Okay, or meat in general. And the reason why is the meat industry causes a lot of CO2.
Yeah.
One of them is either cows give out a lot, farming for cows, they make up a lot of gas and carbon dioxide emissions. I don't know if that's true. That's what I've heard. Also, the industry of how they cook and make things, it just takes up a lot of energy, a lot more so, and it just like shoots out a bunch of carbon dioxide.
So, point on that, what you're saying is the beef itself or the cows are not the actual cause of the negative impact of the climate. It's the industrial corporatized process of producing the beef. Okay, so corporations, go ahead, next.
Yeah, so I guess the difference is if you ate from a local farm, that's different. So I've also heard don't eat processed food.
Mass produced,
Two, don't go on airplanes. Don't travel by plane.
Okay, because the emissions from the aircraft, which are going to fly the airplanes are gonna fly regardless of whether or not you're sitting in that seat.
That's not necessarily true, because if enough people don't sit in that seat, then the aircraft will not have that particular flight. They'll have to have fewer flights. So
it does. So then they'll prioritize a different route, but with the same number of aircraft, because the fleet doesn't change the size, just the route changes the size.
So that's two.
Okay. Also, corporations at fault for that. Go ahead.
Three. What was three? Keep your thermostat high in the summer and low in the winter.
Thermostat high in the summer and low,
in the winter. So keep it hot in the summer and cold in the winter.
Because you should suffer for the way that electricity is produced. Because electricity is produced using oil and gas that instead of using renewable energy, we've focused on using fossil fuels to produce our electricity for the past 110 years. And because of that, it's your fault, so you must suffer. Because again, corporations and governments can't pick a more reliable renewable energy source.
Again, and there is something to this also, like some of the places do produce reliable energy. I meant renewable energy. Like you could be getting most of your electricity from a renewable energy source. I don't actually know where we get most of our electricity. What are you doing making all that noise?
Sorry about that. Continue. I'm just trying to get a charger for my laptop because my laptop's about to die. I thought it was charging and it's not charging. So I have to plug into my fossil fuels with my USB cable to make sure I can get my electricity to my laptop so we can record this climate changing podcast.
So you may be getting your electricity, most of your electricity from renewable sources. Like if you're getting it from a dam or a windmills, it depends on where you are in the world and where you are in a country, whether or not that's true. But natural gas, I think, is still the most common energy source in the world. Though the numbers, we're getting more toward renewable for a few reasons. I think renewable is actually, in the long term, is becoming cheaper and easier to do for a lot of people.
Well, technology is caught up. Yeah.
And with world events going on right now, it's become more important when we get most of our natural gas from Russia.
It's been important for the past 50 years, but we just didn't care.
We don't get most of our natural gas from Russia, I don't think.
The most aggravating thing about this is we've known for the past 40 or 50 years that the way that we do things like a car-centric lifestyle, the way that we produce electricity, the way that we build cities, the way that we do every commercialization, the logistics, the global logistics system, shipping, we've known for the past 40 or 50 years that all of these systems are problematic for the environment. We just haven't cared. And now that's becoming too expensive for us to keep relying on this. Now we're having to figure out how to divert to some other less problematic form of power. But the thing is, we've had the technology for 50, 60 years. We've had the technology for hydrogen powered cars since 1940. It's just Shell bought up the patent and locked it in a safe somewhere. I mean, we've known for years that everything they were doing is problematic. We just keep subjecting ourselves to it because it's the easiest, most profitable way to do it.
And the last one, I do have one more, and then I'll talk a little bit about each of those two as well. Yeah. You've put in your notes. I've got some notes too, but I didn't want to get to the notes because I would forget them. And the last one is don't have children.
That's a way to
help prevent climate change, because people themselves are the reasons why we are using carbon dioxide.
Oh, well, that ties into our last podcast. We should have mass genocide and narrow down a global population of 500 million people, according to the Georgia Guidestones, but who knows who put up. So
you mean our next podcast?
Yeah. Whichever sequence we decided to put in there.
Oh, yeah. I guess that was kind of topical our last podcast or next podcast at the time, but oh, well.
Yeah. I dropped the ball. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's okay. I've edited videos before that I put out like 5 months later or not yet.
But this is a podcast. It's supposed to be more timely. It's supposed to be more punctual. And all I have to do is plug in the GarageBand, do some edits, and throw it up on the internet. But I haven't even been able to do that. It's been such a busy week with work and moving. I've just now gotten to the point where I've unpacked a lot of the stuff. Obviously, the listeners won't be able to see this, but you can see over here.
Ooh, I've got visual cues in a podcast.
Yeah, well, I mean, I will describe it. Okay, describe what you're looking at here, this whole masterpiece.
So right now, I am looking at the world's largest porn collection.
That is not true. That is not true. There's only 3 or 4 porn videos in there. The rest of it's all CDs and DVDs. No.
Wait, there are videos in there? I think it looks like, hold on, I'm going to try to count. It looks like, I'm going to say like 30 times 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times 3. So 30 times 24, which is approximately 700 to 800 CDs on his wall.
Yeah. A massive collection of plastic, basically.
Yes.
Of plastic and paper.
Yes. How dare you?
Oil byproducts. And
yeah. So here's my rebuttals to each of those, or my notes on each of those. One, there are a lot of reasons why we should probably all move to a vegetarian lifestyle. It is healthier for the environment in a lot of ways. Because it doesn't produce as much carbon. Also, it means that we don't spend as much trying to feed livestock that could go to other humans like grains. B, it's more humane because a lot of times where we're getting our food from is done in a very inhumane way of how they treat animals.
Yeah.
And C, it's healthier. Generally, it's healthier. We have access. And when I say we, I should say most people in rich countries have access to foods where meat isn't necessary. There are a lot of people in the world where meat is still going to be the easiest and the best way to get protein. But for a lot of us, meat isn't the best way to get protein, the healthiest way to get protein, because we don't have to have it that way. So yeah, there are a lot of reasons why vegetarian lifestyle is the way I think the world is going to go. I think it's going to be better overall because you're not going to have as much danger from disease like we do. There won't be E. coli outbreaks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of advantages for that. I'm not going to say that that's going to be the best way. I would say like eat local probably would work just as well. Like if you have a local farm that is being very respectful in how they raise and kill animals. I mean, that's what they're doing. That's going to be better overall. And also the shipping isn't going to be there. They're not shipping something from California to North Carolina. You're getting it local down the street.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
So the problem with eating local is local. If everyone were to eat local, local farms would not be able to meet the demand with their supply because local farms are much smaller because people like Monsanto and Tyson and all these other big manufacturing food companies have driven them basically out of business or converted them to their own farms and made them processing plants. So, but I mean, if we were to revert to a society that didn't rely on corporations to provide us with everything and we were able to sustain ourselves, then we could eat local.
Yeah. I mean, if we all just decided we're going to start eating local more and more, then it's going to change. Yeah. That's the only way you can stay ahead of corporations is to always act differently than how the corporations think you're going to act.
Which means acting different from the way society acts. And that can be problematic whenever you're trying to live in a society where you have to like interact with other people. And then you're the weird guy or the weird guy or girl for doing things differently. Then you're ostracized. Anyway, sorry, I keep making points about your points.
I forgot what number two was. Was number two airplanes?
Airplanes, yeah. Airplanes in the night sky. Like so airplanes, stars.
Yeah. I could really use a wish right now. Please stop climate change. Airplanes, yeah, you should travel, staying local as best as you can is going to be the best. Not traveling by plane as often. It's going to be best to have more local. This is the general rule. It's the more local you can stay, it's going to be better. Or if you can travel by electric car that you get your energy source from, like, sun thingies. What are those things called?
Solar panels. Sun thingies.
Something. If you could do something like that, that'd be actually electric cars are much better than diesel cars because not again the thing or diesel or regular gasoline. Gas because not all it's thing to remember not all that electricity is coming from non-renewables. There is a good chunk that is going to be coming from renewable sources. The house, keeping your house, that's just good also because it's good to do it as best as you can. Winterize and summarize your house, like make sure that there's not air going through the windows and all that, but like trying to stay downstairs in the summer and upstairs in the winter even can be helpful. It's also just going to save you money on electricity.
You're saying that people are able to live in places that have multiple stories. I don't know of any place that's reasonably priced right now that has multiple stories unless it's a cheap townhome or something, because most places paying rent right now is incredibly expensive.
Yeah. If you can do that, that's what you do. But if you can't, there are ways to get your house more airflow. What we need to do is just build houses that move air through it better. Yeah. Like I live in Nashville. In Nashville, even though our average summer temperatures get into the mid 90s, our average summer temperatures have been low 90s, upper 80s, I think is what it is. But we don't build houses in Nashville that allow for airflow.
Yeah.
But I've been to places in Europe and I've been to like Southern Florida, and you could open up two windows and it would drop like 15 degrees because how those houses are designed.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing in Japan.
They're not designed to have air conditioning. We just have designed our society around air conditioning and only air conditioning.
Yeah, same thing in Japan, and actually in Hawaii too. Most houses in Hawaii don't have centralized AC. It gets really hot in the in a warmer month during the summertime. It gets really really hot and almost unbearable, and you still have to use a fan like a normal fan, not like central AC or anything, but you still have to use like a normal fan. I'm trying to find a better way to describe a fan. A fan's a thing with blades that goes around and around. And the faster it gets, the more powerful the wind or the air that it pushes out. So you're still driving up your electric bill using fans in Hawaii. But at least there's no in Hawaii you can get away with that. And in Japan, it's different in Japan because the walls are so much thinner and there's much more sort of, like you said, airflow, I guess, between the inside and the outside.
We just need to build our houses better is the thing. Like our houses need to be able to have airflow during the summer and need to be like, we've got to find a way to have like almost houses that are good for the really cold and the really hot months. And I don't know how to do that because I know houses up north and houses in the south are built very differently. And houses, like I'm from Tennessee, it can get cold. Tennessee is not like Kansas, where I guess like the Great Plains area where it gets really hot and really cold.
Yeah.
And have that drastic change is more than like the Nashville area where we don't have drastic cold weather months and we don't have super hot months either right now. Like we're not getting to 110 and we're not getting to zero on a normal basis. So, and that will probably in next 20-30 years that will be a little bit more normal to have that variation. But
yeah.
Because I think we also got to remember, it's like, just because we have hot summers does not mean we're not going to have cold winters. We actually are going to also have very cold winters too.
Yeah, we are going to. Yeah, we're just going to be record amounts of snow in places that haven't gotten snow before. And it's going to be record high temperatures in the summertime in the places that weren't used to the really hot temperatures before. You're going to see 100-degree weather in freaking Chicago, Milwaukee.
I think Chicago does get 100-degree weather, though.
Oh, well, then further north, then. Go further north. Yeah. North. Ottawa, Montreal.
I don't. Well, Anchorage. It depends on. It's not just like how far north, too. It's like where it's located. Like New York. New York is a terrible place for a lot of reasons, probably. But New York City can be terrible because it gets really cold in the winter, but it gets really, really hot in the summer.
Yeah.
And so you get a lot of that. That's just in general. I think Chicago does that as well because of where it's positioned, but I'm not sure. And let's see, what was number four? Was that number three? Number four. Kids.
I thought you had these things written down.
No, I don't. I'm just saying. Not having I'm kids. Just remembering. So right, don't have kids. I don't like this argument. I think this is a terrible argument because here, and obviously I have a kid. So, but here's why I think this is a terrible argument, because it gets into nihilism, basically saying the best way to stop climate change is just to stop all reproduction and we all just die out in our generation, which, okay, sure, that works. But that means that a lot of people are going to suffer because you've already checked out. For the people who are like, don't have kids, they're like, well, I've already checked out. I'm just going to die and we're just going to have this.
Who's checked out? I'm not having kids.
No, I'm not saying you, but I've seen a lot of people online. This is a very common thing. And this just gets in general, this nihilistic behavior, like it's already done. We're all dead. We're not going to try to stop it. But it's only people who I hear talking about this are coming from the countries where we're probably going to be decently okay. Because
who's going to be using it? Okay.
The U.S. can probably handle climate change for the next 50 years pretty well.
I mean, except for the coastal regions, probably.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but here's the thing. Like, here's the thing, though. Like, we're coming from a rich point of view. Like, oh, we're all going to die. Well, you're coming from areas that are not necessarily you specifically, anybody specifically, but you're coming from areas where if you have access to money and you're living in a quote unquote first world country, your country's going to find ways to make you okay. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be great, but we're not talking about country. The U.S. is not going to be entirely underwater. Yeah. The people who live right up on the coast, they're going to lose their water, but they're all rich people for the most part in the U.S. Nobody who has a coastal house.
Or they've been
house,
there forever.
And they'll be dead before it really starts impacting.
Well, their family might still live there.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing is, like, most people who live on the coast or near the coast are rich. They're going to find ways. And as whatever his name is, some terrible conservative person, was it Ben Shapiro? I don't remember. Who said that they would just sell their houses and they would just move somewhere else.
Yeah.
Do you remember that famous thing? I still.
Who are they gonna sell it to? It's gonna be in a fucking water.
Have you ever seen H Bomberman's response to that?
No.
It's the greatest thing ever. I gotta send this to you, and we had to put it in the notes. What? Is it H Bomberman or H Bomber Guy? Ben, this is Hero.
Who are they gonna sell it to? Fucking Aquaman.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
No, but I'm constructing my own response to this.
Oh, that's the joke. Like, oh man, what is this? Hold on. This is the great pause in the middle of this.
Yeah.
Okay. So Ben Shapiro is a terrible person, and he's not a terrible person. Yes. He just has terrible beliefs on a lot of things. Yes. I don't know all his things. Maybe he has some cool, good beliefs on a few things.
And he encourages people to believe the same things he believes, which makes the world a worse place. So yes, he's a terrible person.
Okay, I just sent you something, so you have to watch this.
Okay.
Right. We'll link to this. This is...
All right, I'm going to pause the recording real quick.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Okay, we'll be linking that video to
Yeah, Adam just watched the video. We watched a video. It's not exactly the best version of it. But
he said the same fucking thing I said, though.
Yeah. He just did it. You didn't have the props.
No, I didn't have the presentation that he has, for sure. Yes.
But yeah, if you know what we're talking about, then great. If you don't know what we're talking about, I don't want to give away what he does.
We're just
going to
throw it in the description. It'll be fine.
I remember when he did it. You follow the argument along. You're like, okay, yeah, they're right. They will just sell the houses. And
then you then think for 20 seconds and you're like, not even that, for five or 6 seconds, you're like, oh yeah, my house is worthless if it's flooded in water.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like sometimes people like Shapiro and some other people, they have this idea where they have this logic that you follow along with, and it sounds great, and it's complete doublespeak. It has no meaning whatsoever, because it's like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, if you just think about it for 20 seconds or 10 seconds. But in the moment, you're like, yeah. Wait, what? Hold on. But you just don't have time.
That's the problem with like any form of media in general, like even the talking heads that I agree with, I get pissed off with, because they have the same sort of rhetorical tools that they use to try and sway people. Like even like I like Ron Paul, like as a politician, I think he was probably one of the most honest and forthcoming politicians. But even if you watch his shows or his web series or whatever, he uses the same sort of rhetorical techniques. So does Russell Brand, and so does all the mainstream guys like Tucker Carlson, whatever his name is on Fox News. They all use the same sort of tools, and you're like if you, that's what I can't stand. Like, okay, so if you, just sort of spiel a little bit, if you go to a military facility, right? If you go to a base and there's TV screens around, 9 times out of 10, they got Fox News turned on. And so it reinforces this sort of the mindset and the agenda that they're pushing. And because that aligns with the sort of pro-military, funding the military agenda, that's what they keep on all the time. It's frustrating. Anyway, continue.
Not to mention that it's not... The fund pro-military, pro-funding the military is not pro-funding people who are in the military.
No, it's the military-industrial complex. We've talked about that.
Obviously, we've talked about this, but it's always like, you're not pro-military. It's like...
You're pro-war.
Yeah. It's like, nobody who supports the troops would ever... We've said this plenty of times. I know. Nobody who supports the troops would ever say, let's go to war without... seriously thinking about that for about 10 years.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So don't have kids. That's the thesis, right?
Yeah, but that gets into this whole nihilistic behavior of like, well, there's nothing we can do. It's all corporations. It's all on them. There's nothing we can do. So let's just not care. And that's exactly what corporations want you to do, because if you don't care, they can just keep getting away with it, because no one's going to make a stink about it.
Yeah, well,
we have to make a stink. We have to be voting. We have to be talking about this, and not just Twitter activism. Twitter activism does nothing, because all you have to do is wait 2 days, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah,
or put out a statement. Like you wait about 6 hours. You put out a statement, and then you don't talk about it ever. Then you just stay silent for about 3-4 days, and then Twitter's on its next thing, so you don't even have to worry about it anymore.
But here's the thing, when a lot of the rhetoric and discussions in society are around social issues like abortion, gay marriage, racism, police brutality, any other number of issues that have come up in the past couple of COVID, anything else that's come up in the past couple of years, that's a very easy way to distract everyone from more serious issues that affect literally the entire planet, like climate change, globalization.
These are all serious issues. It's not
are serious issues, but the longer you can prolong, the longer politicians and people who are in power can prolong the bickering about these issues instead of just saying, look, you got equal rights, gay marriage, cool, good to go, transgender, cool, good to go, abortion, cool, good to go, marijuana, cool, good to go. That could be easily done like that, but the longer you keep people bickering about it, the longer you can distract them from the other things that are going on, all the corruption and all the
I feel like,
you feel me,
I see what you're saying. I feel like this year abortion is going to become like both sides of the abortion argument of those in power really liked what happened last month. They really liked the overturning of Roe versus Wade.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's going to get them more money. Because they're like, we got to keep it going. We got to keep going. We got to keep it going, or they'll bring back abortion rights. And the other side's like, we got to fight to get these abortion rights back. And it's like,
yep.
And I will say, like, sometimes I feel like I'm being used.
You are.
To get people into office, that's to get problem. People money into office. And it's quite annoying because it's like, this is my life. This ain't your life. You don't care about this.
Yeah.
You're using
stake,
my life and things that really
have,
matter to me.
Yeah. As a leverage for power and money and corruption.
And let's face it, like, it doesn't matter if you're a politician who is Latina, gay, Muslim, white, if you're rich and in power, you're on a much different scale than anybody else because you're rich and in power. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, in a lot of times, that's the difference. It's not really all these little other things, differences about race, gender, sexuality. Those are all like social constructs. That doesn't mean they're fake. It just means that we kind of create how much meaning we put into them. But what is true is how much you got in your bank account versus how much you don't. And that has all the power in the world.
Right.
And that's my thesis. And I think that's our thesis that we've always said. It's about the haves and the have-nots. It's about the insiders and the outsiders. Sorry,
that was the joke. Have you heard the phrase, money makes the world go around, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but what they don't tell you is what it's going around into the big giant toilet bowl. And we're just turds along for the ride.
Oh, it's the golden rule, right?
I think it's hilarious that that there's these blogs and these suggestions that say, here's what you can do on an individual level to help climate change or to help this cause or to help that cause. When really what we do on an individual level makes absolutely no difference if on a macro level corporations and politicians and all the other people that we're talking about aren't changing the way they're doing things. If manufacturing isn't clean, if renewable energy isn't clean, if the social issues that we know, like in our heart of hearts, I think whether you're Republican or Democrat or conservative or liberal, use the word liberal, use the word liberal in the modern sense, not in the classical sense, but it doesn't even matter what, like, I think everyone can kind of, if you really pay attention and care about other people, you can come to an agreement on these social issues. So social issues shouldn't even be an issue. It's just people are assholes. On a micro level, people are assholes. And then we have things like TikTok and Facebook to amplify those voices. But
It just push the wedge.
Yeah.
We're either this group or that group. And if you're in this group, I can't ever talk to you again. That's the goal. The goal is like, if you voted for this person, you are no longer allowed to come to the family reunion or something like that.
Yeah. 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 So
it's like, what?
So we are being used as tools for a divisive society, and the beneficiary of the divisiveness is a retention of power for those that are already in power. Further, the illusion of the split between left and right, and the higher concentration of wealth in the, I guess, as Bernie Sanders would say, the 1%. That's the result.
Yeah.
We all lose because we're all asleep at the wheel, more or less. So, not even asleep in the back seat or in the very back of the bus.
But I do not want to end us on hopelessness, because hopelessness is the tool of the elite.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
As long as you're hopeless, as long as you are despairing and just can't and feel like it doesn't matter, those in power will always be in power.
Okay. I'm in despair and I'm hopeless. What vision of hope can we possibly expect to see?
So the two things that I'm going to say is, one, do those things that you can to mitigate climate change by yourself.
I already have. No kids. Yeah. Bam.
Well, I don't know if the no kids thing actually, the four things I talked about were the four things I've heard. I don't actually know if they're true. Research it, first of all. First of all, do the research. Don't just trust somebody who heard things on TikTok or in YouTube or on Twitter. Just do the research. So
yep.
There's noise going on behind me. So I hope that's not picking up, but it
probably a ghost. Don't worry about it.
It is pipes. okay. So one, do the things, the individual things you can do to mitigate climate change, or you can do to help with abortion rights or gay rights or whatever. Do those things. Why is that important? Yeah, it probably isn't going to make that big of a deal, but here's why that's important. Because it means you care and you are still doing the work, because you've got to kind of fake it to make it, kind of, you know, you've got to keep caring. But two, don't just stop there. You've got to use your voice and make a noise. I don't know what that voice was that I just used. But remember, in a few months, we have an election. And technically, and here's the fun thing, like in a few months we have election, but we'll go to 2024 because this is like the grander scale. In 2024, there's a presidential election and there are going to be two parties. There are going to be two candidates and we're going to be voting between one of those two people to be president. But if all the people if all the people who are old enough to vote and are legally allowed to vote, register to vote, and then all vote for a same third candidate, that person will be the president in a landslide. Like it will be, they will win they'll win more than Nixon won in 1984. Reagan won 1984. That's my prediction. I think Reagan's going to win every single state in 1984, except for probably one state and probably DC.
I am doubtful that any of those things will line up.
I was right.
Were you right? Was it DC and
it was DC and Minnesota. Because I believe the person he went up against was from Minnesota, and it was Walter Mondale. Yep. He was born in Minnesota, died in Minnesota.
I am doubtful that everyone registered to vote. I'm doubtful that the people in power will allow a third party candidate to even have a voice in the election, just like they haven't allowed it for the past 30 or 40 years. Ever since, what was his name? The Ross Perot. Ever since Ross Perot caused such a disruption in the 2000 election, they haven't, was it 2000?
He was 96. Ross Perot really, I don't think did Ross Perot run in 2000?
Ross Perot was the third party candidate. Everybody, he pissed everybody off, and they were like, all right, no more third party candidates in the debates. And then unless you get over, was it 5 or 10% of the popular vote on the next election? So that's why Joe Jorgensen and Gary Johnson and all those guys haven't allowed it in the debates.
It wasn't Perot because...
wasn't Perot? What was the other guy? What was the guy in 2000?
Was it Buchanan?
I don't fucking remember. It was one of them.
He didn't see... He ran in... Pro last ran in 1996, apparently.
Okay.
We're doing quick searches, so these could be wrong. Well, here, I'll say this then. Everybody who's currently in power in a major power position will be dead in the next 60 years.
Yeah. I'm not so sure Pelosi will be dead. Or what's the guy from Kentucky? The frog looking guy, the turtle looking guy, Mitch McConnell.
McConnell. Okay. That's only two people. Every other one is a human and will be dead in the next 60 years, which means that's the thing you got to remember. Like, career politicians still have a limited time that their career can exist.
I have a theory I just constructed in my mind. Okay. So I've been watching a lot of the what's it called? The Skinwalker Ranch show, The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch. We've talked about that, I think, before.
I think so.
But they had a new season this year. Like every summer they'll go out and then they'll put the season out the following summer. So we're watching the season this year from last summer. And they're one of the few paranormal teams on TV that I think do a pretty good job of doing due diligence and scientifically analyzing phenomenon and trying to explain things in a logical, rational manner without jumping to conclusions. I think they did a really good job of that. But they've stumbled upon some pretty compelling evidence, and they've seen UAPs, and they've experienced like anomalous radiation and other odd things that have happened to them, cattle mutilations, other really odd things. And so, you know, I'm inclined, you know, as I am, I'm a little bit biased to believe that aliens do exist and that we have been visited. And putting two and two together, I see no reason to not believe that Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi aren't lizard people from another planet. No reason whatsoever.
That was not where I thought that was going, but it was so worth the ride.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. So that's my conclusion off of that. Oh, an unrelated note, actually kind of related. They put out a new Beavis and Butthead movie on Paramount Plus. Have you seen it yet?
I don't have
it
Paramount Plus.
It's so awesome. All right, I'm going to briefly spoil it for you just for a minute.
No. I'm putting my hands over my ears.
You have headphones in. So Beavis and Butthead.
I can hear you better.
I'm spoiling this for you. Beavis and Butthead.
Spoiler alert for Beavis and Butthead do the universe.
The universe. I've seen it. I've said that three times already. So,
what are we spoiling? Sorry.
Plot. Go ahead. So they get in trouble at school. So as a punishment. Yeah.
Are they the same age?
Yeah. Okay. So it starts in 1996 or 7 or whatever. And they're in trouble at school. So their punishment is to go to space camp. So they go to space camp in Houston. And then while they're at space camp, some events transpire and they wind up becoming astronauts, right?
So Isn't this the plot of the film Space Camp?
I don't know. But anyway, I promise you it's not, because the way they become astronauts is exclusively trademark views of my head. So then they go into space, right? They go to the ISS, the International Space Station, to try and make some repairs. Well, while they're up there, they wind up destroying the shuttle they go up there with. And through some suspicious events, they get tossed out into space. And then they wind up going through a black hole and transporting through time to 2022.
So when did they go to space camp?
96.
And they immediately became astronauts?
They earned their way to becoming astronauts. I'll just say that. I don't want to spoil it too much.
Well, I just ask because the ISS did not have people on it until 2000.
Look,
I'm just
you're
saying,
splitting Beavis, hairs here. It's a cartoon.
Beavis and Butthead do the universe is not historically accurate.
Probably not, but they do travel. I mean, they travel through a fucking wormhole through space and time.
Hey,
so
I've seen Interstellar. That happens. Oh, spoiler alert for Interstellar.
I have not seen Interstellar. So you just spoiled something for me, and I spoiled something for you.
Don't watch Interstellar. It's not worth it.
Beavis and Butthead are now in year 2022, and they're making a new series on Paramount Plus, where instead of making fun of music videos like they did in the 90s, or making fun of like reality TV shows and MTV in the 2000 early 2010s. Now it's TikTok. They're clowning TikTokers on Beavis and Butthead. August 4th, that's when it comes out. It's going to be awesome.
Ooh, August 4th.
A day before the new Eminem Curtain Call 2, which I mentioned before, comes out. It's going to be a double disc, and yep, the track list is kind of out, but not really. But, yeah, greatest hits. It'll be good. So, yeah, Eminem, Beavis and Butthead, International Space Station, Aliens, Corruption. That's our podcast for today.
Yeah, yeah, that pretty much sums it up. Oh, I was going to say something. It was going to be a jump too. That was, but I just got a text message. Let me see what it says. Here, let me see what this text message. Adam knows too much. Stall him for the next 30 minutes. We'll be there. Also, can you donate to the Pelosi campaign for the 2022 midterms?
Is her re-election up right? Oh God!
Everybody's is. She's a house. She's in the house.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's like you don't even know how the apolitical system works.
I forget.
And I'm going to go with that word.
I was asked the other day how many people are in the House of Representatives, and I got it wrong.
435.
I said 430, and I forgot it was 435. Yeah. I forgot about all the outliers. But I do know how many senators there are. There are 50, and they're all assholes.
There are 100 senators.
There are 100 senators for 50 states. I am not on my game tonight. I've used my brain capacity talking about aliens. My RAM is out of memory. Yep.
I'm not even sure if they're 435 because I think
that's
that,
right.
And you agreed to it, but you also said there are 50 senators. So maybe
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. So I don't even know what trying to say I'm in here, right.
What we're trying to say here is do not listen to our political podcast because we clearly don't know anything about basics. You know what?
At the end of the day, it doesn't even fucking matter. It can be one guy in charge and he's still going to be just as corrupt. Look at Russia. Doesn't even matter how many people are up there. It makes no fucking sense or no difference whatsoever. Doesn't matter.
Yes. You know, the politics comes from the Greek word poly, which means many, and tix, which is a blood-sucking animal. So I have a friend who told me the story that she had she was political, poli-sci or something major, and she had this one guy in her.
Sci.
Polyamorous sci-fi. It's where you
do what? Okay.
I don't know. But she said there was this guy who would make that same dumb joke in almost every class. And it's like, no, tix means, actually, I don't know. It comes from tika? Tika? I don't know. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. So, Comic-Con was this weekend.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The San Diego Comic-Con. There are several Comic-Cons, but
yeah,
San Diego is the big one.
Yeah.
So we learned more about what Avengers is, or what the MCU or Marvel Cinematic Universe is doing and all the new stuff. But here's the thing that I think is very important in all this.
Sorry, I was falling asleep. What was that?
Yes. The world in the MCU, or actually in Marvel Comics, the Earth we live on is Earth 616 or Universe 616. That's our universe.
Yeah.
616 is in the Bible. Revelation 13. Do you remember those old prophecy TV shows that would come on like History Channel or whatever, and they would read out the verse, and it would be that woman's voice who'd say like, "And the Lamb slew the beast," Revelation 20:22. It was always the same voice.
No, I don't remember that.
So Revelation 13. Let me tell you a little bit about Revelation 13.
Let's hear it.
I want to go with the NIV because that's the first one that comes up. Actually, the first one came up with the King James, but the NIV is a better reading, and I know it's not a great one, but
yeah,
screw it. So, hold on. I want to skip ahead. So the first part about it is the beast out of the sea, then it's the beast out of the earth, and it says it about the beast out of the earth. It also forced people This is Revelation 13, starting in verse 16. It also forced people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or their foreheads, so they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its names. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for there is the number of a man. The number is 666.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's not even on here for some reason. But in some manuscripts, the number is 616. Dun, dun, dun.
Really? Was it mistranslated?
No, it's okay. So we have to get into gematria. I mispronounced that word. Numerology, number studying.
Okay.
So when you do the numbers, when you number to letter, A is 1, B is 2, yeah. C is 3, all the way up to H-I-J-K. I is 9, J is 10, K is 20, 30, 40, all the way up to S, and T will be 100, U would be 200, that's how that goes. This okay. is how this numerology, how you connect what your numbers are.
Okay.
What your name, you can connect your name to your number. I could be mixing up the numbers, but it goes, you go by 10 until you hit 100, then you go by hundreds until you hit 1,000, and you just keep going.
Okay.
Well, you never get to thousands in most alphabets, because most alphabets are low 20s to mid 20s in the number of letters they have.
Mm-hmm.
So in Greek, the word Nero is Neron. And when you do this, you get 666. But Neron, that ending N, is only in the accusative. Is only in a particular, I could be screwing this up, so I apologize. It's only in a certain form that you would have the name N-E-R-O-N. In other forms, you'd have N-E-R-O. And okay. In that case, N is worth 50 points. Okay. So if you take off that ending N, it goes from 666 to 616. Meaning that most likely the number is referencing Nero.
And how does that relate to the Marvel thing?
Oh, okay. So, background. So basically, it's the lesser known number, the lesser known mark of the beast. So we live in the lesser known evil universe.
So what it's saying is there's a more evil universe out there.
There is the darkest timeline. We're not quite there.
So that's your message of hope for the whole podcast here, is that we're not in the darkest timeline.
Yeah.
So we're things in the could be almost worse. Dark. Yeah.
It could be better, yes. But it could be worse.
Yeah.
I mean, look.
I just don't know about that, you know?
I mean, obviously, it could always be worse, but the hope we want to leave you with is that if aliens came and visited Earth,
yeah,
and they were lizard people,
which they are,
very strange that they would also look like lizards, because the odds of aliens looking anything like our form from other country, from other worlds, doesn't make sense. Like, they would develop the same way we would develop.
Have you seen Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell? They look exactly like lizards. Like,
yeah, but identical. maybe they're not aliens, is what I'm trying to say. In the Doctor Who series, and I'm sure they get this from other places, the lizard people live under the ground.
Right.
They live in the
which
earth.
Is why in
they're
the,
not aliens though.
Well, in the Skinwalker Ranch TV show, they talk about how there is under the mesa at Skinwalker Ranch, there is a huge metallic object made of the same materials and made in the same way that a spaceship would be made in to allow it to re-enter Earth, and it's buried beneath the mesa. So they've probed it and they've chipped off pieces of metal to determine that whatever the metallic composites or whatever, you know what I'm talking about, the metal is made up of, is similar to that of a space shuttle. So perhaps they came
heat
from
shield?
Underground. Huh?
Are you talking about a heat shield?
No. It's basically, the metal is the same. Because
it
has to be a heat
shield. It doesn't matter what the other metal is.
Yeah.
The other metal just has to be able to survive.
But what's it doing under the mesa in Utah? You know? What's it doing under there?
Wait, did you say Utah?
Utah.
Close to Salt Lake City?
I'm not too familiar with the geography of Utah, but I believe, you know, I think the ranch is like the northeastern portion. So yeah, I think
Salt Lake
City is
like mid-north, I think, or maybe northwest.
Yeah, I don't know relatively how far away that would be from there. Yeah.
No, I mean, Utah's also desert. A huge state. So, I mean, like close on a map is like, oh, they're right beside each other. It could be like 6,000 miles for all I know. It's not 6,000 miles. The U.S. is not 6,000 miles apart, but you get what I'm saying. Watch it not even be that huge of a state. It'd be funny. It's like 40th in the U.S. It's not, but.
All I'm saying is it's very possible that they're lizard people and they came from underground.
Lizard people who are underneath the temple in Salt Lake City?
No, not under the Mormon temple in Salt Lake City, no.
Maybe it's all connected.
Under the ground, everything is connected, you know? It's the spiritual world we live in that we don't realize that we're all connected in some way.
6 degrees.
That's right, 6 degrees. If you're lucky, you get 6 degrees, you know? If you're lucky. Sometimes you're only 1 or 2 degrees away and you're like, this is too close for me.
Adam's like, I want to be 6 degrees from everyone. How is that possible? Well, first of all, you'd have to be at least 1 degree from one person in order for that to work. And that makes you at least, you can't be 6 degrees from everyone.
Yeah.
You can't be 6 degrees from everyone, but like, you could be 6 degrees from everyone, but like a few hundred people.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah. That's iffy. Then the street viewer people would have to be at least 5 degrees away from everybody else.
No, except for themselves.
Statistically, probably not likely.
Yeah.
But in my ideal world, less than 500 million people would be on the planet. if there were less than 500 million people, then you could get 6 degrees from.
I mean, I don't know what in the world we're doing now.
We're just bantering.
So here's the thing about this podcast is we didn't really have a topic specifically for tonight. So we're like, let's just wing it. And
it's been a lively discussion.
I mean, we started off great. And then you could tell we had a focus there for about 15 minutes.
Hey, this has been related. We're talking about lizard people. We're talking about the politicians. We're talking about the climate change. It's all related.
And then I randomly brought up 616 and then brought it into like Bible prophecy crap.
That's fine. I managed to somehow weave Beavis and Butthead into this.
Yeah, so, that's true. When I say Bible prophecy crap, I don't mean all Bible prophecy is crap. I just mean a lot of it around 666 is crap.
Anyway, I don't think we have time for a theological discussion right now.
No. But I've been getting into it more because I follow theologians or one theologian on TikTok, and it's really fun. When I say I say we follow one theologian on TikTok.
The
and I like
watching. Account. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a personal TikTok account.
Yeah.
But I did upload a video recently to it. So go check that out.
It's hilarious. Yeah. Go check out the TikTok. It's hilarious.
It has nothing to do with lizard people.
It's on YouTube and Instagram as well. I threw it over on Instagram. Just to have it up there.
So. Yeah.
Yep. But
put it on Twitter and Snapchat.
Snapchat.
I don't know. I have access to our TikTok.
Do people still use Snapchat? Is so 2012.
I don't know if people still use Snapchat. I have access to our Insta. I have the password to our TikTok and to our YouTube. I have no other passwords. I'm sure you gave them to me at some point.
Yeah,
but
I did.
I don't remember them, so I never post. So whenever you see someone post anything that is not TikTok or YouTube, it is not me because I don't have the keys.
You, I mean, Just tell me that you want me to give you the password and I'll give you the password. That's it's not complicated.
Just tell me right now, is it A, B, C, Nancy Pelosi is a lizard?
Yeah, that's kind of close. I'm trying to think of something more clever to say and I can't, so I'm just going to let it go.
A, B, C, D, E, F, U, and you.
That song
that is such a dumb
fucking
song.
Annoying as shit. And they made like a romantic version of that song too, where it's like something like I love you and you're something. Oh, I forget. That's dumb. Yeah.
That song was part, if I remember correctly, two of the songwriters on that are Nashville based songwriters.
Two of the song. How many fucking songwriters did it take to spell the alphabet?
Well, the song itself, I think music as well. Fun God. Little fact for all of you out there. No one writes a song by themselves, pretty much. And there's a lot of ghostwriters out there.
Yeah.
They don't want you to know how the song gets, know how the sausage gets made. Because if you know how the sausage gets made, you may say, this is bad for the climate.
Yeah.
Turn.
Bam. Back at it. Back. There you go. It's all connected.
It's a TikTok. It's a TikTok loop. You know how you're supposed to make the loops TikTok? I'm working on a video that does that for my, our first ever TikTok loop video.
Oh my God. So when I was a kid, probably
back in the 40s.
Back in my day when I was riding on my climate polluting bus to school, I was listening to Puff Daddy's album, No Way Out, in my CD player, in my Walkman CD player, Discman, that was called.
They had CDs.
We had a CD player. And
when I was a kid, I had a mobile 8-track player. Did they make those?
No, they didn't.
Can you imagine having a Walkman 8-track?
Would be massive. I was listening to it with one of my friends, I forget his name, on the bus, and I was
John,
like,
yeah. Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. I was, you know, like, I know this because that was my name too.
I was like, yeah, I helped write this song.
Would you say you helped write the song?
Yeah, and he believed me. Kids are dumb.
And that's how Adam befriended Ben Shapiro.
That's how I don't have any kids. They're dumb.
Man, kids will believe anything. I've almost made a TikTok that is like dumb, like fake facts, and just end it with, and also none of these facts are real, and that's why you don't believe anything you just see someone say on TikTok without doing the research.
We will have done that before. I've seen that before. Yeah. On the TikTok and the Instagram, it's and the so reels annoying. And
where people just, yeah. Like, it was like the Cracker Barrel thing. Do you remember the Cracker Barrel thing that someone posted on Twitter from a few
Brad's
years
wife?
Ago?
Brad's wife?
Was what?
Brad's wife?
Brad's wife. I forgot about that. No. Oh my goodness, I forgot about Brad's wife. Adam, please explain to everyone about Brad's wife for those who don't know.
Cracker Barrel, well, forgot about that. Brad's wife too. Oh, all right, fine. I'll explain Brad's wife real quick. We got another couple minutes. So, all right. So Brad's wife, back in like, what was it, 2016, 2017, something like that. This girl working at Cracker Barrel gets fired, and her husband posts on Facebook on the Cracker Barrel Facebook page, like, hey, why did my wife get fired? She was doing her job. She's worked there for like 10 or 20 years or something like that. Why did she get fired? And then it became like this huge meme where everyone would go on Cracker Barrel's website whenever Cracker Barrel would post, like, come have our $10 breakfast or something like that. They go on there and be like, why'd you fire Brad's wife? And then, I bet it'd be better if Brad's wife served me breakfast. It became this whole meme. I think Brad's wife got hired by, like, Chick-fil-A or something, I don't remember. But yeah, it was a whole meme for like years. Yeah. You couldn't go on Cracker Barrel's Facebook page without seeing comments about Brad's wife. You can probably still do it to this day, honestly. You can probably go on there right now and see comments about Brad's wife.
But. And here's the thing about Brad's wife, she'll never know a little bit after the fact. Yeah. It is Nancy Pelosi. Okay.
All right.
So here is the fake story. Someone posted apparently on Facebook, but I think it started on Twitter, but it doesn't matter. They're one and the same.
The same, yeah.
Someone wrote, cracker was a slang term for whip. And that's why Black people call white people crackers, from the crack of the whip. A cracker barrel is a barrel that held the whips for sale at the country store. That's what someone posted, and it went around Twitter. So everybody's like, I knew
people cracker thought it was true.
Everybody thought it was true. And here's the thing. Do you know where Cracker Barrel gets its name from?
I honestly don't know. No.
The literal barrel of crackers that they would have at stores.
Oh.
I think it was at stores. But yeah, it literally comes from where it's named. But someone just made this up.
Yeah.
And it went around like wildfire, and no one thought to fact check it. And they're like, Cracker Barrel's racist. It's like, they may be, because they've done some shady stuff in the past.
Yeah.
They've also done some weird stuff in the past, because I have like a Cracker Barrel, you know, those little toys that were you like pegs.
Oh, the golf peg. The golf yeah. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I got one of those at Nashville Pride several years ago from Cracker Barrel, and I always thought that was weird that they were there.
But, I think that's weird too. Why would they be there?
Yeah, they're just showing. Maybe it was in the settlement with Brad's wife.
You know, I think it's funny. All right, one more tangent, and then we'll cut it off. But I think it's funny when corporations have no business or no vested interest in social issues, decide to arbitrarily boast their support for a social issue, like during Pride Month, right? You see banks and everyone else changing their logos on Facebook and everything to like pride flags and everything. Meanwhile, the core audience for their services couldn't care less about this issue. They just want the service that they're being paid for, whether it's Cracker Barrel or a bank or whatever it is, and they don't care. But why do you decide to stick your nose into these social issues whenever you really don't care? You just care about the money that you make from the people who are involved in these issues. Like, it's very
off-putting.
And what's the word for like facade, like an adjective for facade? It's facade-ish.
I know what you're talking about. Like, some of them I get, like some of them, like Minecraft or Microsoft, do this, or like, but they also have a really high view of pro LGBT rights, like doing things for LGBT. So it's just them celebrating. So it makes sense. But
yeah. But when Cracker Barrel does it, you're like, most of your customer base is like old white conservatives, right? So what do you like?
But
other companies as well. But
and yes, and I did want to point out, because some of you are one of our listeners, maybe the only listener. I don't know how many people listen to this podcast right now. I don't have those numbers in front of me. Oh, look, -3. What? But no, some of you may be screaming this.
It's the Cracker Barrel. See, we talk Cracker Barrel, they log off.
You could say what you want about my mom, Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, fucking homeless.
You do not talk bad about Cracker Barrel. Does Nancy Pelosi have kids?
Oh my god, I don't know.
Probably. So the term is rainbow capitalism or pink capitalism, which is about trying to get money from the gays.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me see. Does she have kids?
How's that related to the Cracker Barrel thing and the but all right, while you're looking it up, the political stand that companies take, like for example, Dick's Sporting Goods removing firearms from their inventory and taking a political stand about like gun control and stuff like that. If you want to remove guns from your store, not sell guns, then do that. But don't take like a political boasting stand about it and think that you have the moral superiority over here because you're taking this side of the issue. You're just losing customers is all you're doing.
Why does Nancy Pelosi's son look like Rand Paul, like an older version of Rand Paul.
It is Rand Paul.
That was like my first thought. I may not look anything like him, but it looks like Rand Paul in 100 years.
So Ron Paul.
Oh, yeah. But they're all, that would be the most obvious thing. Like they're all related. It's like,
yeah,
they're all on the same side. It's like
the Bushes or the Clintons.
Like they're throwing dice. This is how they determined, like, okay, Republicans, Democrat, Republicans on this side, Democrats on this side. What's our next issue? Gays. So what are you picking, evens or odds? Republicans are picking odds. This is going to determine it's evens. Democrats, you like the gays. Okay, next one.
All right, hold on. Wait. I'm a Republican. What can I? All right, what's my leverage to use against the gays? That 2,000-year-old book over there. I can use that. That mentions it twice in really random places.
Okay, let's see. Next up. Okay. Next up, minorities.
Oh, I was going to say
minorities. Okay, let's see. Who is anti-minorities? Okay, we're going to see. What are you saying, Democrats? You're going to take pay evens? Oh, it landed in the middle. So it's hard to determine because it's kind of on the edge. So Democrats, you Republicans, you're going to be pro people of color until about the 30s, 40s, and then the Democrats, you get it. We're going to have the great switch of the South.
Yeah.
Oh.
I still don't entirely understand how that happened, but whatever.
No, I don't even know if it really did happen. How do we know? Who's alive right now who was the adult at that time?
Ron Paul, Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell.
The all-knowing space baby at the center of the universe. Sorry, that's a reference to Wheezy Waiter. It's not. It's actually a reference to 2001 A Space Odyssey, but I'm not...
All right, I think we need to cut it off here.
Yeah, we've lost the plot. And by plot, there's right. Our minds.
To circle it around. Not all hope is lost, but most hope is lost.
Yes. But there never has been much hope. So
the little hope we have left is still kind of there, maybe?
The candle is not burning bright, but it never has been.
Yeah, now it's just burning less bright than it was like 100 years ago. Well, for some things, it's burning brighter. Yeah, it depends. Yeah.
I think I think overall, it's probably a little bit brighter in certain areas and a little not brighter on others.
It just fluctuates so much.
Yeah. So if you're an average worker, it's a little bit brighter in working rights. You get a weekend now.
Yeah, but your pay still sucks because you know. You can't afford to pay rent anymore. So good luck with your weekend working your side job, bitch.
If you're gay, you can have more rights than you've ever been able to. And you can also be public about it in certain places.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, and if you're a racist, never a better time to be racist than right now.
You can become TikTok famous if you're a racist, man. You can just get on there and just sell some shit and everybody will be posting your videos all over the place. It'd be great.
What if we
you
started
a TikTok?
We're going to start a Patreon exclusive TikTok. We're just going to talk about things that are going on in TikTok because there is some tea to be had on TikTok this week. I don't know how I am connected to this. I think it's because of things you watch on TikTok, Adam.
I don't use our TikTok to watch TikTok. I only watch the short videos on Instagram. I don't even log on TikTok hardly at all. A little bit, but not much.
I think you liked something a long time ago, and it just got us on this whole weird part of TikTok.
Oh, what is it?
It's Indigenous people TikTok, which is not a bad thing. It's just what is going on. The part we're into is the weird, strange part of...
Indigenous American people?
Yeah.
They still exist? I thought we genocided all them like 150 years ago.
Well, see, that's part of the problem with what's going on that apparently right now.
All right, what's going on?
I do not know enough about it to know. I just know some people are saying some different things of what it takes to be an Indigenous person.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, it's like a whole thing that it's a whole strange thing going on. Like, are you enough to be this? And I'm not going to say anything about that as a white person. You know what? I'm not going to get into that. And as a white person who's my claim to, my only claim that I can probably have is that I'm a little bit Irish. And so I know the Irish people have gone through a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not that much Irish. I'm mostly English. So I'm mostly from the side who's been doing the bad things.
I don't know what I am, but I'm white as fuck. I know that. So, all right.
I'm just trying to take that phrase very literally. Don't do it. Don't do it.
That's a rhetorical device I use to sort of exasperate the words, whatever. Fuck. I don't know.
So, all right. Other cool things about TikTok is that it's a thing that exists and it's in short spaces, unlike this madness.
All right, you have to let me end this podcast. We have to end
the podcast.
It's been an hour and 18 minutes.
End it. Put it out of its misery.
This is the end of our podcast. Thank you for listening to the Impotent Podcast. I've been Adam.
I've been Jessica. Or have I been a lizard?
Next time. I promise our podcast will be a podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Life is not written in ink. We change, we grow, we make mistakes, we learn, and eventually we fade away. Life is written in pencil. Thank you for listening to the In Pencil Podcast.